28 and Mark 13. These three texts this evening. And Matthew 24, Matthew 28, and Mark 13. From here, we'll share a few thoughts with the Lord's help. Being a missionary and serving the Lord on the mission field, we'll preach a missions theme, amen, missions emphasis message tonight. Amen. And we sure appreciate y'all's prayers and y'all's love for missionaries. Amen. Matthew 24 and Matthew 28 and Mark 13. The first verse in Matthew 24 will be verse 14. Matthew 24, 14. The Bible says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Matthew 28, verse 19. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." And Mark 13 and verse 10. "And the gospel must first be published among all nations." Do you want to pick up on the common denominator in these three verses? Who does God want to hear of His Son, Lord Jesus Christ? All nations. God wants everyone to hear of His Son. Amen. Not willing that any should perish. Amen. Let's go to the Lord once again in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we love You. And we thank You, God, for this opportunity to just give us one more time to stand at the pulpit, open up Your Word and preach. Lord, we can do nothing without You. And so we ask You that You bless. God, we ask that You be in complete control at this hour, Lord God. For Your honor and glory, we pray that You speak to hearts and draw men and women unto Yourself, Lord God. Lord, You know hearts tonight. Maybe there's someone here that has never trusted in Jesus as their Savior. I pray that You speak to that heart and draw them to You. And may today be the day of salvation. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. So, with God's help, we're going to share a few thoughts with you from these three verses on the next move in missions. There's a next move in missions. We're all familiar with the great commandment, the commission verse in Mark 16:15, where it says, "And He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That is the great commandment we find in Scripture. Now notice it is a commandment and not a request. It is not a request. There's a big difference in this. Has anyone served in the service? I never did. I was born too late in the service, and so you might relate to this. Imagine with me, if you will, a commander coming up to one of his soldiers, and he said to his soldiers, "Excuse me, could you stand your post for us?" Do you think a commander was speaking that way? Thank you, brother. Did you holify it? Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. Appreciate that. So, I can't imagine a commander making a request for one of his soldiers to stand his post. I believe he would say, "Stand your post." Amen? And so, in the Bible, we have a commandment, not a request, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. What is the commandment in that verse? To go into all the world? That is the geography. Amen? I believe the commandment is that we are to go preach the gospel in all the world. To every creature. Amen. That's the commandment we have. And you know, it's not been removed. It still stands today for our generation. He has given us this commandment to us today, to every generation. Amen. And why do we mention that? Well, there are some who believe to the contrary. I spoke with one on the phone, a pastor of a church, during our deputation, asking for a meeting to come and present the work that God has put on our hearts and our shoulders. And he, in the conversation, he said that great commandment, that commission verse was given to the apostles. To them. That's it. I didn't get a meeting with him. Amen. And so, we didn't go to that church because we believe that this commission and this commandment was given to us today. Amen. We are today. The church today is to go out and take the gospel to every creature because he is not willing that any should perish. Amen. Now, on the field, we'll do a lot of good things. We've done a lot of good things. The Lord has blessed us. Just like in the church work here. Amen. We'll knock on doors. And we'll have a Bible study. And we'll pass out tracts. And we'll have choirs. All the good things. Amen. We have discipleship every Sunday afternoon in our church. Amen. And our folks are already at church. Come to service at night. Amen. And so we have Bible study and training in the afternoon. And there's a lot of good things we can do in the church. That Paul wrote, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And another time he said, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Amen. Now, the Lord Jesus, when he came to this earth, he called 12 unto himself and he ordained them. We know that eventually these 12 apostles had the power of healing. Matter of fact, raising from the dead. But what was their priority? The Bible says that Jesus called the 12 unto himself and he ordained them. What did he ordain them to do? Mark chapter 3. We're already in the book of Mark here. I am. In Mark chapter 3, look here. What was their priority? What did Jesus ordain them to do? Man has distorted this thing. Amen. So Mark 3, look here. In verse 14. Mark 3, 14. Well, I'll begin with 13. And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would. And they came unto him, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. Amen. That was what he sent them out to do. Amen. Man touches on everything else but preaching. Amen. And then sometimes it's just all show and all music. We were leaving our house, headed to church one Sunday evening. And we had gone this route time and time again. And all of a sudden on this Sunday evening, we're driving and coming up to the traffic light. And all of a sudden off to my left, my windows rolled down, a big loud, I mean light rock and roll music. And my first thought was, oh my goodness, they've opened up another bar right here. And as I turned my head, it was a church. A church. The doors open, and up front you see in the pulpit with all the rock music going. And it was sounded just like a rock band music going on. And so man has distorted this matter. They'll have a lot of show, and they may open. Have you heard of the Snowball? The Snowball. Have you heard of the Snowball Church? Anybody heard of the Snowball Church? Google it sometime. This guy has made his pulpit out of a surfer board, a big old huge surfer board up there. And I think he wears shorts sometimes up the pulpit and so forth. And one guy, he'll open up the Bible and he'll have a reading. And the music is going on during his reading. This music, loud music going on, some kind of singing or something. It's just, to me, it was strange, amen. And so that's big in Brazil, especially in Joinville. And it is attracting the youth. They're getting huge numbers of the youth. What is happening? Amen. They're leaving out the preaching. Amen. And so God has commanded us to go into the world and preach the gospel. We know that Jesus came and his ultimate goal, he was headed to the cross. Amen. We know that we understand in Scripture that Christ came flesh so that he could die on Calvary. That was his goal. Amen. The Bible also gives us other reasons why Jesus came into this world. And one of them we find in Mark 1. Mark chapter 1. Look over here in Mark chapter 1. Let me read from verse 37. Mark chapter 1 verse 37. Another reason why Jesus came into this world. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. Verse 38. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. Amen. He's saying, let us go to the next towns, so we can preach there too. That's why I came here, to preach. Amen. Do you remember the story where Jesus was in the house and it was real crowded? And four brought a man with palsy and they couldn't get to him for the crowd. And so they went to the roof, opened the roof and lowered him at his feet. Y'all remember? Amen. Y'all noticed this story? Amen. It was crowded there. You know what he was doing in that house? The Bible tells us what he was doing in that house. Mark chapter 2. We see exactly what he was doing in that house that night. They couldn't get to him for the crowd, so they lowered the man down from the roof at his feet. In Mark chapter 2 and verse 2, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word. Jesus was in the house preaching that night. Amen. You'll see on the right side of our display over there, we're at a house. Some of the folks don't come to church, and so we go to the house and have house meetings. Amen. On that particular one, the electricity went down on me, so I had to use my cell phone light to finish the message. Amen. And so we have house meetings. Amen. And we're going to preach. Amen. And so we have a commandment of God to preach. The next move in missions, the next one this evening in Matthew chapter 9. Go with us in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, we're going to look at verses 37 and 38. Matthew 9. The next move in missions. Look here in Matthew 9, verse 37 and 38. You'll recognize the verse. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. We have the commandment of God to go and preach. Here we have the cry of Jesus to pray. Amen. We heard a lot of prayer requests tonight. Amen. And when we have prayer requests, we expect others to pray for us, and vice versa. When they have prayer requests, they expect us to pray. In the scriptures, you'll find just prior to his ascension back into heaven, he left us with a prayer request. Amen. He asked us to pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers. Brazil, contrary to popular thinking, Brazil is still yet a country where the laborers are few. In our area, amen, it's a rhetorical question, but can one man reach 570,000 people? Oh, we're not limiting God. We know God can, amen. But man is limited, amen. And Jesus knew that. And He knows that the laborers are few. And He's asking us to pray, that we pray, the church, us, you and I, the born-again believers, that we pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into His harvest. While I was on deputation, I did a Google search for missionary statistics. And I found on there that somebody had done a survey. So this is their work. But they surveyed and found that in our generation, there were 72 nations without an independent fundamental Baptist missions. Now, I don't know how true or how accurate that is. You trust in Google, amen. Anyway, but say it is. Why is that? There are still 72 nations that are not hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. No. Man wants to point the fault at God. We cannot fault God, amen. God has given us a commandment to go and preach, and it stands for us today. Christ has asked us to pray. Oh, when was the last time you and I prayed that the Lord of hearts will send forth more laborers? Christ is crying out that we pray. On that same survey, they also found here in the United States, and I know today it's the so-called Christian universities. We understand that's another story, amen. But in the universities today, there are less than 1% of anybody considering foreign missions in America's universities. We need laborers. Christ is still praying. We need men and women who will surrender to Christ to serve the Lord. It doesn't have to be a foreign mission field. That's another message in itself. Amen? But South Dakota, amen. South Dakota, hallelujah. We met a missionary going to South Dakota just recently. And we know their brother here, his family in South Dakota. We need missionaries in South Dakota, amen. In Hawaii and so forth. Everybody won't go there. Anyway, that's all around the world. But this, if there are 72 nations who are yet not hearing the gospel in our generation, whose fault is that? Man's fault. Amen. You see, God has placed on man the responsibility to reach man. Yes. It is our responsibility and none others. Amen. And so, and we know that God is not willing that any should perish. And so God has commanded us to go. He has made His move. Christ is crying out that we pray. Christ has made His move. And so the next one, Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, we're going to look at another familiar verse here. In Romans chapter 10, most will recognize this one as well. Very, very familiar with it. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. Romans 10:14, the Bible says, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" That is the call of the Holy Spirit. How shall they hear? That's the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts. Hey, Christ has asked us to pray. How are they going to hear without a preacher? The call of the Holy Spirit. Another thing that the man has distorted, just flipping through the gospel channels on TV today, a lot of men has distorted this matter about the Holy Spirit. I don't mean to chase a rabbit there, but God, I can't go without saying it. It's, Donna had a co-worker in our early days, our marriage, and her husband. We got together sometimes every once in a while, but didn't get together too much because he had a foul mouth. And didn't go to church, wasn't interested in God, and had nothing to do with it. And years went by. Sometime later, we met up again. And he come to me and he said, "Scott, hey, let me tell you about this. You know, I was in this church," and he told me where it was. And I was in there, and all of a sudden something came over me. I went forward and put my hand on people, and they were getting healed. What? No. You see, man has distorted this thing about the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells in an individual. From that moment into eternity, is with us always. Amen. It doesn't come over us, especially a non-believer, and give them the power to heal. Amen. That era is long gone with the death of the last apostle. Amen. We don't find it in scriptures today. And the first thing that the Holy Spirit is dealing with is, say you're sitting in a church and you're listening to preaching and something is going on in your heart. You know something is telling you that He's telling the truth. You know, that's the Holy Spirit stirring in your heart. And the first thing the Holy Spirit wants to deal with an individual, a lost soul especially, is the matter of salvation. That's where it begins. And He's pointing you to Christ, not the healing people. I hope it's okay to preach that. See, a lot. They're even doing surgeries. Their pastors in these healing services are cutting people's throats open and pulling parts out in the name of healing. In these services and churches there. That's crazy stuff going on. And so, the Holy Spirit, the first thing He wants to deal with is the matter of salvation. Do you know where you'll go into eternity on that last breath? For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's where it begins. Now, there are other things that the Holy Spirit begins to deal with, but for the sake of time, we'll touch on this one next one. The next thing that the Holy Spirit wants to deal with is a matter of service. Amen? Jesus never saved anyone to sit. Amen? He saved them to serve. Jesus has an assignment for each one. Amen? I mean, from the youngest to the eldest. Think about Naaman, the little maiden, his wife's little maiden. It was through her that he heard of the prophet of Samaria. Amen? And she did her job. And she was just a little young maiden. And so the Lord, Jesus saves us to serve. There is a service for everyone. It's the call of the Holy Spirit. How shall they hear? And to do what? The call of the Holy Spirit to do what? Look over in Romans 12:1. You're going to recognize it there as well. To call the Holy Spirit to do what? Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The next move in missions, and we'll skip over a few things here. We heard tonight, God has made His move. He has given us a commandment to go and preach. Jesus has made His move. He is crying out that we pray. The Holy Spirit is still working today. He is calling out that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. The next move in missions we'll find in Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, you'll recognize here as well, in your Bibles, this is where Saul was on the road to Damascus to slaughter the disciples of the Lord. Amen. He went to destroy those who called on this name, Jesus. But on that road, he met the Lord Jesus. I'm thankful for the day that I met the Lord Jesus. Amen. I'm sure I shared it here long ago, but I can't help it. Amen. I believe I'm saved because my dad got saved. Not because he saved, I'm saved. But because my dad got saved when I was 2 years old, he started family devotions. And in time, here in the family devotions, by the time I got 7, I came to realize that I too needed a Savior for myself. Amen. And I remember going to the bedroom with my dad and got on my knees and asked Christ to forgive me for my sins and asked Him to come into my heart and be my Savior. And He saved me forever. Amen. On that day, Cabbage Town, Atlanta. I could take you to the concrete slab where there used to be a house there. I took my children there one day. Years later, they were already teenagers, grown up. I said, "This is where I got saved." In Cabbage Town, Atlanta, old cotton mill place, amen. And I trusted in Christ as my Savior. And this is the road where Saul met Jesus. The next move in missions. The first part of verse 6. And he, Saul, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" The next move in missions. We have the commandment of God to go and preach. We have the cry of Jesus to pray. We have the call of the Holy Spirit. And might I say again, He is still calling tonight. The next move in missions is a commitment from God's people to present their bodies a living sacrifice. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Amen. We do need more missionaries. We do need more servants to serve the Lord. Amen. Maybe someone is waiting to hear from God. I know you've heard it preached here. You're not going to hear an audible voice from God today. Amen. How are you going to hear from God today? Amen. I don't know. How do you hear from God today? In His Word, amen. God, this living book, amen, will speak to you. And the Holy Spirit will speak to you. And if you're a born-again believer, and you read God's Word with the right attitude, amen, He will call men and women. He's still calling. How shall they hear? Oh my goodness, I think there's so many that are still reaching out. How shall they hear? Just in our little area of the corner of this world, amen. Right here, in this neighborhood, there's probably someone that is waiting for someone to go tell them. Amen? And how shall they hear? Someone make a commitment to go to preach. You know, God's not going to call women to pastor a church. But you know, ladies, He doesn't leave you out either. You know, every time you hand out a tract, or every time you tell someone about Jesus or about your church, amen? About your church, you are proclaiming God's Word. Amen? And so we are to go and proclaim God's Word. Amen? We are to pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers. And the Holy Spirit is still calling for someone to make a commitment to present your body as a living sacrifice. That's all I have, preacher. Thank you for this time. This is your people, Pastor. Come on. I better take this off.
Emily, come to the piano. If you just bow your head just for a minute. Maybe God spoke to your heart as our dear brother shared with us this evening. I don't know, but I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the message. If God spoke to you, would you be honest-hearted enough to be obedient to His dealing with your heart while Sister Emily plays for us?